Okay, we'd like to finish our Chazara on the Mem Zayin Amud Beis. And hopefully we'll have time at the end, Emes Hashem, to start the new sugya. It's always important to do Chazara, to refresh, to understand it again. And as we mentioned in the past, some say that the first four times, that's really considered just learning. I just sat with somebody last night who told me he recently made a siyum on, not recently actually, a few years ago, made a siyum on Kiddushin, which he managed, Baruch Hashem, to finish 10 times. And he said, even though it was a while ago, but he still feels that he remembers it, even if not back to front, inside out, but definitely very easy for him to get back into it. The Miri Rosh Hashiva, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, there's a beautiful video of him in which he says that as a bocha, he came to the Mir Yeshiva and he learned Bava Kama 13 times. And he said, until this very day, which was towards the end of his life, he said it still remains for him his easiest Masechta. Simply because, not because Bava Kama is an easy Masechta, it's an extremely difficult Masechta, because he did Chazara so many times. Okay, we're on the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis towards the top. First word on the line, Oison, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi said, we were discussing why it is, at which point after a person's death does he get kapora? First opinion was, he has to die, be buried, and then decompose. And that's why it's only after his body decomposes that, remember in the case of the Rosh who was killed by Beis Din, he is exhumed and then finally reburied in the original place in the family base Akoras, but not until that point. But Rav Ashi disagrees. And Rav Ashi says, Avelos me'emosai komascheles. When does the chiv of Avelos kick in? Mistimas ha'goyl. When the keva is closed. But at that point, kapora me'emosai kohavia. The kapora hasn't yet kicked in. You cannot possibly have Avelos on a rosha. But it doesn't mean that the kapora only comes about at a much later stage of when the body decomposes, but rather, when is it? So he says, "Michi have a tzara de kivra purta," when there is tzar of the keva. Again, we don't understand these concepts so well, but apparently, when the body is interred into the keva, there is tzar, and after a while, we don't know how long, there is a kapara, but certainly we do not have to wait until such point that the body decomposes. But either way, at the point where Avelos should kick in, when is that? Avelos should essentially kick in at the end of the Levaya when they close the Orein. But at that point, the chiyuv of the kapara hasn't yet happened. So it all depends on that initial moment. And therefore says the Gemara Hoyel v'idchu, yidchu. Therefore once it's pushed off, it's pushed off. If there's no chiyuv avelus at the time that it should kick in, it cannot now reawaken afterwards. So the question is, ihochi lomali ikul boso. So if that's the case, that he really has a kapora after tsar in the keva, but not when the body decomposes, so why indeed do we only re-exhume the body after the body decomposes? So he says, mishum deloy efsher, because until then it's just simply impossible. Remember we saw rather a gory description in Rashi, which is that when the body is only half decomposed, it's just practically impossible to transport it elsewhere, but not that he hasn't yet got a kapara. So we seem to have a machleikas rabbeisai in the final analysis. At what point does a person get a kapara? According to one opinion, it's following death, burial, and decomposing. According to the second opinion, it's following death, burial, but not decomposing, but tsar of the keva, which takes less time. Says the Gemara, Kivrei de Rav. This was the final sugi that we learned. The keva of Rav have a shokli mine afra le'ishta bas yoima. They used to take earth from the keva, and it was used apparently as some medicine. It was seemed to have medicinal properties. Asu amrele l'Shmuel. So they came to Shmuel and they said, Yois Avdin. He said, yes, it's okay. It's okay what they're doing because Karka Oilam hu. For Karka Oilam ain't on the Eseres. Even though a Kever meaning the dead body itself is osa bahana, you cannot benefit in any which way from the dead body. But the ground, a piece of land, can never become osa bahana. And therefore, the earth, that's not considered the dead body or the shrouds or anything like that. That's ground. And ground is not susceptible to tumah. How do I know? So the Gemara brings a pasuk. The Ksiv, it says, Vayashle chesafara al kever b'nei ha'am, makish kever b'nei ha'am la'avodes kechovim. Ma'avodes kechovim b'mechubar lo'y mitzra. Just like in Avodah Zarah is also osur bahana, but not if it's connected to the ground, or is the ground. How do I know? The Ksiv asher atam yershim oisam eseroyehem al haharim haramim, al haharim eloyehem v'loyeh haharim eloyehem. It's only Avodah Zarah if it's on the mountain, but not if the mountain itself is the Avodah Zarah. If somebody bows down and serves a mountain, the mountain does not become osur bahana. If he serves Avodah Zarah upon a mountain, that whatever that item was, that becomes osur bahana. Is Hachanami so too over here? But mechubar loy mitzer. So too over here as well. Something which is connected to the ground, where is the ground, like the earth, that will not be considered osur bahana. So therefore, the fact that they took earth from the cave of Rav is fine. That's acceptable. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, but we have a kasha on that. Hachoitzev kever la'oviv. If somebody dug out a kever for his father, v'holach v'kovre b'mokim acher, and then went and buried him elsewhere, harizeh lo yikovre bo yelomis, it can now not be used again. Why? It's osur bahana. But why is it osur bahana? Didn't you just tell me that the land is not osur bahana? Says the Gemara, hoch b'may askinon b'kever binyan. We're not talking about they dug out a grave, as in a hole in the floor. But rather, there's a whole construction, a building that they put over the kever. And as we explained last time, even though technically this building is now connected to the ground, obviously it's connected to the ground, but nonetheless, because it was initially metaltalim, what does that mean? It was initially metaltalim. It was initially bricks. Bricks are metaltalim. So the chiddush is now, even though they're connected to the ground, it still retains the status of metaltalin. And even though connected to the ground, it's not the ground. And that's why it's osur bahana. Toshema kever chodosh mutar bahana. But hitil boi nefel, once you put a dead body in it, osur bahana. The answer is once again, hachanami bekever binyan. To what a binyan? And if it's a binyan, so those bricks that were initially not connected to the ground, even though they now are, but they retain their initial status, and therefore they become osur bahana. Toshema nimtza to'im shalosh kvaris, saying there are three types of kvaris. This was the last sugya that we learned. Everybody should remember it fresh. Kever ha-nimtza, kever ha-yodua, kever ha-mazik. What's a kever ha-nimtza? Kever ha-nimtza, if somebody decided just to park his dead body in my field, so I can take it out. Kever, I'm allowed to take it out. Pinehu, makay moitahar, the mokim becomes tahar, umutar bahano. Because not a kever. Kever hayodua, where he did have permission, then also the fanoise. Now I can't empty it. Because he had full permission to be there. And if that's the case, even if he did, Pinehu, makay moitomoi, vasar bahano. If it's a kever which is now in public property, not in a private field, but it's in public property, which means that anybody who walks past is going to now become tameh. So again, mutar lefanoisa, and if pinehu makoy moitor, v'osur bahano. So once again, we do see in various cases that I can have different types of kvarim, which are osur bahano. So once again, this seems to disagree with the yesod we said before, that a kever is not osur bahano. And here, without getting involved in all the details again, but we seem to have a number of examples of a kever, which is osur bahana. Answers the Gemara, same answer. Hochanami bekever binyan. Once again, we're clearly talking about a kever, which is a binyan, which is a construction. If it's a construction, we're not talking about land or earth or ground, and that's why it's osur bahana. Yerub Lari.
The Gemara, or this the case of the son and the father. The Gemara could have brought a case which says if you dig a grave for somebody and then you bury that person elsewhere, it's all da da. But it says specifically the son and the father. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe it's only in that case.
Where does it say son and father?
It says Chotzov Kever La'aviv, someone buried dug a hole a grave for his father. And then he buried him elsewhere, and now he can't use that grave for himself. It's not a Ploni, but Ploni. It's specifically
Doesn't say
the
it
son and the
for
father. Huh?
himself. It doesn't say
Huh?
it's also for himself. It doesn't say it's also for himself. It says also for everybody. How is it
Funny,
not you?
because Otzko says the son may never himself be buried in the grave.
Oh, you mean
Hare
somebody
ze lo yikaver bala ba'olamas.
else? So what, somebody, when somebody else can, though, it can't be.
I don't know. So what I was thinking is maybe like you can't sit in your father's chair, you can't be buried in your father's grave. It's not kibbutz avayim. It's his
I know,
place.
but it doesn't make sense. Because if you're telling me that somebody else is allowed to be buried, then you're telling me that this cave is mutter bahanor. The Gemara is clearly taking on that it was asa
So
bahanor,
I don't
therefore
know
everyone
why.
else
I don't know.
could
I'm
be.
just reading what I'm just saying when I was reading it. I don't know
You're
why.
right.
Okay.
Your interpretation is correct, but it can't be that it's other people are allowed to be buried. Because the Gemara is clearly trying to prove from here that it's asa bahanor. It's asa bahanor.
Right. So I wonder why it's the father and the son. Okay, whatever. Nothing is by accident, you know?
Okay. Says the Gemara Baita. 1 second. The kever. You said that a kever that was found, what does it mean it was found? We had no permission to be there. What's the halacha? You can, if you want, empty it. Why? Dilma meis mitzvahu. Maybe it's a meis mitzvah konamakoimai. Didn't we say that a meis mitzvah is allowed to be buried anywhere and then he cannot be exhumed? Says the Gemara, it's true. But a meis mitzvah, shani meis mitzvah, the kola islay, a meis mitzvah always has a koil. What does it mean it's a koil? People would hear about it. Therefore, if you just enter your field one day and all of a sudden you, to your surprise, find a kever there, then you do not have to assume it's a meis mitzvah. To the contrary, in all likeliness, it's not a meis mitzvah, otherwise you would have heard about it. Okay, and that is the end of the sugya.
By the way, Rebbe, excuse me. I just want to. Rashi addresses this exact. I apologize. Rashi addresses this exact question and says, "You might think that this is specifically about a father and son, but that has, but it's not true. It's for everybody." So I apologize.
Correct. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Urcha de Milsa Nokat. Urcha de Milsa Nokat means they're just giving you a typical example, but it doesn't dafka mean that. Okay. So we're at the end of the sugya, and we're now beginning a new sugya, but it's not entirely new. It's just new that we haven't learned it yet. Zot the Gemara, so we're slowing down a little bit because this is fresh. Itmar. So we're learning a sugya. This is a classic, world famous sugya of hazmona. Hazmona means to allocate something, to dedicate, to reserve something for a specific usage. And we have a discussion. We know that in many, many, many areas of the Torah, when something has a specific use, then it adopts halachas. So, for example, if I have tefillin, I use as tefillin. So dovah shebikedusha, so they have halachas, gniza, and bizoyin, and other such things. If I allocate a korban, then it has halachas, kedusha. So the question is always, at what particular stage does it adopt those halachas? Must I use it for this particular usage, or is it enough that I just allocated it for this usage? And that's called hazmona. So let's have a look. Says the Gemara, Itmar ha'oireg beged lemeis. So this is clearly a continuation of the last Gemara. We've said in the last Gemara that the dead body and anything to do with him, as long as it's not the ground, is asa bahanor. Whether it's the shrouds or the dead body himself. So we're talking about the beged, the shrouds. So if somebody was oireg, oireg means he wove, A beggared for the mace. Now, the mace has not yet been wearing these begodim. If you would clothe the mace in these clothes, then finished. These clothes are now asur b'hanah. So even if you would take the clothes now off, it would clearly become asur b'hanah, nothing to discuss. But in the event when I did not do that, rather the only thing I did was I just allocated it, meaning I wove the beged. Says the Gemara, Abaya Omar Osa, Verova Omar Muta. So we have a very big machloikis, a very big machloikis. Will it be Osa or will it be Muta? What's the discussion? The Gemara says, Abaya Omar Osa, Hazmona Milsa he. Hazmona is Milsa. What does it mean Hazmona is Milsa? Hazmona, the mere fact that you've allocated it, Milsa is a thing, has substance that carries weight, even though it's never actually been used by the dead body. But because it was dedicated for that use, you clearly had that in mind when you made that beged. That's called Hazmona, Hazmona Milsa, if it's Asabana. But Rava Omar Muta, Rava says it's Muta, why? Because Hazmona love Milsa. So you have an enormous machlekes in Abaya Rava, Hazmona is Milsa, or Hazmona is love Milsa. So have a look at Rashi. Ha'oireg beged lemeis. Now you have to medayek this Rashi very carefully. If somebody wove a beged for a mace, Rashi says, la'achar shemeis, after he died. Why did Rashi say those two words? What does Rashi mean when he says, after he died? I wonder if it was before he died. If somebody would weave shrouds for somebody who has not yet died, but he's about to. Or even if he's not about to. The guy's 25. Mr. Hashem is going to live for another 100 years, but he now prepares shrouds. Would there then not be a discussion of Hazmona Milsa or Hazmona Lav Milsa? The indication in Rashi, it sounds like that we're only talking about La'achar Shemes, after he died. Not clear at this stage why that should be the case. Says Rashi, Hazmona, the next Rashi, Shehizminui Lekach. What does it mean, Hizminui? The Nikra Shem Hames Olov. The name of the dead person is already attached to this beged. When I'm looking at this beged, I say, ah, okay. This beged is the beged of the mace. So, by virtue of the fact that that's what it's called, even though it's never actually been used by the mace, nonetheless, there is an opinion of the Gemara, namely Abaya, that says, Hazmona Milsa. Hazmona is something. And therefore, it's considered already to be Aser Bahano. So, let's see. Says the Gemara, my Taima da Abaya. Obviously, each side of the argument needs some explanation. Why does Abaya hold that Azmona is Milsa? Says the Gemara, Gomar Shom Shom Me'eglo Arufo. The word Shom is written in association with death. I was about to see in a moment. We learn it from Miriam. The word Shom is also written in the parasha of Egla Arufa. Ma Egla Arufa Bahazmona Mitzera. In the case of Egla Arufa, what is the process of Egla Arufa? Egla Arufa, as we all know, a dead body was found. We don't know who is responsible for his death, so the Beis Din, as it were, have to take responsibility. What do? They take this animal to the Nachal Eson, it's a certain river, and then they perform the whole ceremony there. At what point, this animal is like a type of korban, as it were. At what point does the animal become asur b'hanah? As we're about to see in Rashi, even before you've actually begun the Egla Arufa process. If you just take it down to the river, before you've started the Arifa, what is the Arifa? We know we break the neck of the animal, we haven't started that yet. So all I've done is hazmona, I've just taken it down to the river, but I have not yet begun the process. And the halacha is, as we'll see in a second, that renders the animal asur b'hanah. So I see, at least in one case of Egla Arufa, that in that particular case, hazmona is indeed milsa. And it says there the word shom. It says the word shom also with regard to death. Just like in the case of Egla Arufa, hazmona milsa, so too in the case of death, also hazmona milsa. So again, says the Gemara, Gomar Shom Shom Egla Arufa. I learned the Gzeira Shoba. Ma, Egla Arufa, hazmona mitzra. Just like in the case of Egla Arufa, the hazmona itself now forbids it to be used. Hainami, hazmona mitzra. So too in the case of death, meaning these shrouds that were woven with this dead person in mind, also becomes asur b'hanah even before they've become used, just based on the hazmona itself, says Rashi. Milsa, what does it mean, hazmona milsa? Ke'ilu korchoi boi. We consider as if you've already wrapped the dead body in the shrouds, even though you haven't. You've actually only dedicated, you've only allocated the beged to be used for that, but it hasn't yet been used. Nonetheless, the opinion of Hazmona Milsa says we consider as if it's been used already. How do I know? Shom, shom. B'Miriam, what does it say in the case of Miriam? K'siv Thomas, shom. Miriam, so it uses the word Shom. V'tikover Shom, and she was buried Shom. So again, the word Shom. Uba Avodah Zarah, it also says that word because it says, Asher Avdu Shom Hagoyim. Egla Arufa, Bahazmona Milzra, Dekayim Olam, because we maintain Yeridosa. The very fact it's been taken down Eson, to the Eson River, he Oisrato, that already forbids it, says Rashi, but Kiddushin or Bakrisis. So there's two Masechtas in which you find the same principle, and that is the Egla Arufa, the minute you take it down to the Nachal Eson, even though I've not yet begun the process. All you've done is taken it to the right location, but haven't used it in any which way. And nonetheless, the animal becomes asur b'hanah. So therefore, I learned from there to the case of Misa. Just like in the case of Egla Arufa, the mere allocation, the hazmona, renders the animal now asur b'hanah, so too in the case of Misa, the mere allocation of the beged for the dead person, even though I haven't actually used it for the dead person, nonetheless renders it asur b'hanah. That is the opinion of Abaya. So what does Rava hold? Are Rava held that hazmona is lav milsa? Why not? V'Rava Omar, no. I learn shom, shom. May avoid us. I learn a different Zereshava. You learn from Egla Arufa. And I admit, in the case of Egla Arufa, Hazmona is indeed Milsa. But I don't learn from Egla Arufa. The Gemara in a minute will explain why not. Where do I learn from? I agree there's a Zereshava, but it's from a different place, and that is Avodah Zarah. As Rashi brought the pasuk ready after Avdu Shom Hagoyim. So what do I learn from Avodah Zarah? The Rava Omar Gomar Shom Shom Avodah Zkichavim. Ma Avoidas kichavim bahazmana loy mitzra. We're going to see in a second. In the case of Avodah Zarah, it's the very last Rashi, we'll see in a second. Their hazmona is not considered to have effect. So too, hochanami bahazmana loy mitzra. Therefore, so too in the case of death, when all I've done is allocated these shrouds, but I haven't actually used them at all in any which way. So then they would not be considered osabana, says Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud. Avodah Zarah bahazmona loy mitzirah. Lehedyet. The Tanya b'Masechta Avodah Zarah, it says a brayso on Avodah Zarah, ha'oimer bayis zeh Avodah Zarah. If somebody declares, I want this house to be for Avodah Zarah, or shoyer zeh Avodah Zarah, or I want this ox to be dedicated for Avodah Zarah, muta, it's permitted to be used, she'ein hekdesh l'Avodah Zarah. There is no concept of being makdish, as it were, Avodah Zarah, dedicating Avodah Zarah. So now let's take this very slowly because we don't need to be confused. We definitely know, for example, in the case of Hekdesh, if I announce that I'd like to dedicate my animal to Hekdesh, what happens to the animal now? It's Hekdesh, it's Kodesh. Even though I haven't, as it were, used it in any way for Kedusha, it's not a carbon. But the very dedication, the allocation of it, now means it belongs to Hekdesh and it adopts Hekdesh status. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. So we definitely know that sometimes there definitely exists a concept of hazmona taking effect. So rather, clearly, we're discussing the very specific example of Misa and shrouds. So we're not discussing what would be b'chol ha-Torah. In other areas of halacha, we would have to discuss. But we're specifically discussing what is the halacha in the case of Misa. So in the case of Misa, when I've now created these clothes, I've woven the clothes, all I've done is I've allocated them, but I haven't used them. What's the halacha? So one opinion says I learned from Egla Arufa that it's Asa. The other opinion says I learned from Avodah Zarah that it's Muta. In the case of Egla Arufa, as mentioned, the very fact that you just take it down to the river, even though I have not yet used it, it becomes Asa. In the case of Avodah Zarah, the mere allocation does not make it Asa. So I see that sometimes Hazmona makes it Asa. Sometimes Hazmona does not make it Asa. So what should I compare Misa to? That's the machlokes of Abaye v'Rava. If I compare it to Egla Arufa, then it'll be Asa b'Hana. If I compare it to Avodah Zarah, then it's Muta b'Hana. In one moment, the Gemara will explain, so how did each one choose where to learn from? Rabbi Larry, you wanted to say something?
No, I'm just going to give an opinion of why I don't understand that about Azara side, but let's see what the Gemara has to say.
Okay, so we'll see. So that's the machlokes between Abaya and Rava, Hazmona Milsa, or Hazmona Lav Milsa. The machlokes is all about do we learn from Egla Arufa or do we learn from Avodah Zarah? So says the Gemara on the second bottom line. Verava. Remember, Rava was the lenient opinion. He says Hazmona is Lav Milsa, and I learn it from Avodah Zarah. My timer, loy, gomar, me'eglo, arufo, question mark. All fine and well that he's learning this concept from Avodah Zarah, which is true. But how did he know not to learn from Egla Arufo? I've got the same Zera Shava. Says the Gemara, Omar lecha, I'll tell you why. Meshamshin. Mimashamshin gomrinon. La'afuke egla arufa dehi gufa kedosha. What does that mean? What it means is as follows. Just like in the case of death, the body, the actual dead body, we said is asur b'hanah. What about the clothes? Well, that's our discussion. What is the function of these clothes? The clothes are mishamish. They are serving the dead body, but the clothes are not the dead body themselves. In the case of Egla Arufa, do we agree Egla Arufa is not a case of one thing serving another? The Egla Arufa is itself Kadosh. That is a discussion. What about the case of Avodah Zarah? So Rashi explains, as we're about to see in a second, that the case of Avodah Zarah that we're talking about is also Meshamshin of Avodah Zarah. We're not talking about the Avodah Zarah. We're talking about those items that are Meshamesh the Avodah Zarah. They serve the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, says Rava, that's a much more fair comparison. If we're talking about that which is Meshamesh the mace, it makes sense to learn it from that which is Meshamesh the Avodah Zarah. That's a very equal comparison. As opposed to Eglah Arufa, there, we're not talking about one thing being mishamish, something else. There we're talking about the original source, the Egla Arufa, which is itself Kaddish. Have a look at Rashi. Top Rashi. Mishamshin shel mes. I prefer to learn that which serves the dead body, i.e., the begodim, serves the dead body, the beged. Mimashamshin from another case of that which serves another shalavoides kechavim. Gomrino that I prefer to learn that. Deloi mitzri bahazmona. Dahai kroa shaavdu. Because that pasuk that we quoted before with regard to Avodah Zarah is actually not talking about the Avodah Zarah itself, but rather is talking about b'mashamshe avoides kechavim mukminon Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is there talking, discusses that this pasuk is actually talking about not the Avodah Zarah itself, but rather is talking about that which is Meshamish, the Avodah Zarah. Tanya, because it says there in a Braisa, Ovoid Toivedun Eskalamakoimois, Bekelim Shenishtamshu Bahen Avodah Zarah Medaber. We're not talking about the actual Avodah Zarah. We're talking about kelim, which assist the Avodah Zarah. For example, if I keep the Avodah Zarah in a box, does that box become hano, osa bahano? That's what we're discussing. Now, the box itself is not Avodah Zarah. It's meshamish, the Avodah Zarah. It serves it, just like the beged. The beged is not the dead body, but it serves the dead body. So I've got two cases, as Rashi continues and he says, De'ilu mekoymois mamish. Even though the lashon of the pasuk is abe tabedun es kolam mekoymois, but it definitely doesn't literally mean the place of the avodah zarah. Haven't we already explained that a place cannot become osa bahano? We said this before. De'ilu mekoymois mamish loy mitzri. We have the drasha de'ksiv eloyheihem al ahorim veloy ha'horim eloyheihem. So we're not talking about the place of the Avodah Zarah, we're talking about what the Avodah Zarah is placed in, meaning like the box. Is Yochel, I would have thought that you, Nesarin Miyad, maybe that box should become forbidden Bahana immediately, Mishas Hazmona, from the moment it's allocated. Talmud Loima that no, Asher Ovdu Sham. It's only when they actually serve the Avodah Zarah. Mitashmish ve'elech. Only from that point that it's used and onwards. So again, what's the Gemara saying? It's true. I've got a choice of two places that I could learn mace from, either Egla Arufa or Avodah Zarah. But if you look carefully in the context, Avodah Zarah is not talking about the Avodah Zarah itself, it's talking about that which is Meshamesh to the Avodah Zarah, the box of the Avodah Zarah. That is an identical comparison to the Beged that serves the dead body. As opposed to Egla Arufa, there we're not talking about one thing serving another, we're talking about the Avodah Zarah itself, the Egla Arufa itself. And therefore, that's got nothing to do with mace. Yes, Reb Larry.
Couldn't I argue on Rava that Avodah Zarah is Yahareg Vayavar and burying someone is a mitzvah? So you're taking some, you're trying to compare something which is Avodah Zarah and saying it's an accessory to Avodah Zarah, therefore it's Asar, as opposed to an accessory to something that's a mitzvah.
It's not us, it's mutter.
I'm saying it's
Everybody.
mutter. I'm sorry, it's mutter. But it's a different thing. One is B'Kedusha and one is Yahareg Vayavar.
There's no discussion whether it becomes osa b'hano. That's not our discussion. In both cases, osa, the question is only when. In
Right,
both
so how
cases.
can you compare? One is a situation where they're not comparable. One is a
Right. The
situation
contrary,
because
Avodah Zarah is more chamur, and nonetheless, it's still mutter as long as it hasn't been used. Kol shekein in the case of mace.
you could say, look, it's hektish. You're
What's hektish?
using it for the accessory. The accessory once you are mazmin the godim, the tachrichim for the thing, it becomes hektish. You could use it like he was saying for Eglah Rufa.
Nothing to do with
There's more
hektish.
comparisons
Mace,
there,
it's
huh?
nothing to do with hektish. It's nothing to do with hektish. A mace is
I'm
osur
saying
by
it's kadosh, but it's
mace.
kadosh, right? A mace is
No.
kadosh.
I don't know. It's got no kedusha. No. It's osur bano. Bosa b'cholov is also osur bano. It's got nothing to do with kedusha. There are some things that the Torah does not want you to have benefit from. So now, that which serves the mace and that which serves the Avodah Zarah are both osur bano. But when? That is our good question. In Avodah Zarah, I see it's only osa from the fact, asher ovdu shom, from the moment it's actually used. So I'm learning from there that so too in the case of mace, when I have this beggar, although it's definitely going to become osa b'hano, that's not the discussion, but from when? Only asher ovdu shom. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue next time.
Good.